If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, in fact, some of the rules related to fasting and Ramadan, since we are in the month of mercy, in the month of barakah, and in the month of Ramadan. So we're going to deal with this, in fact, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker in the studio. We are in the month of Ramadan, and we are still talking about, or we have started a series of programs regarding Ramadan and jurisprudential rules of Ramadan and fasting. Sheikh Javid, what does a pregnant woman have to do about fasting? Is fasting obligatory or permissible for her?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it depends on whether fasting has a negative impact on her or not. You know, fasting, generally speaking, is obligatory on every adult woman, whether that woman is pregnant or not pregnant, you know. And it depends on the condition and the situation she lives in, you know. If she, for example, lives in a, you know, in a cold area or in a cold place and the days are shorter, she can obviously fast without having to fear that that fasting will affect the child negatively or the embryo negatively, or it will have, for example, negative impact on her. Of course, it may not have. So, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that if it is feared that fasting might have a negative effect or impact on the child, then she cannot fast, because you know she has to. Take every precaution to, you know, to protect herself and protect the child she is bearing, and therefore she has to exercise precaution and not observe fast, you know, because it's very much likely that fasting might have an impact on her. So if there is genuine fear that fasting might have a negative impact on her health and the health of the child, then she should not fast. And of course, she has to give one mud of foodstuff. And I would like to say that one mud of foodstuff is equal to 750 grams. So she can give it in the form of food, in the form of rice, in the form of bread, in the form of flour or rice or meat or noodles to a poor Shia Muslim. And the qada also becomes obligatory when she is out of the month of Ramadan, and when she gives birth to her child, then she has to observe the qada. And the qada has to be observed whenever possible.
So even if the pregnant woman, in fact, can afford it, bodily speaking, and are capable of, in fact, fasting, they can do it, right?
Yeah, if of course.
Is it permissible for them to do it then?
It is. It is permissible. It is a must. If fasting is not going to be
harmful.
Harmful. Yeah. Uh-huh. And if she realizes that there is, you know, if for example, it depends on the woman's stamina, the body,
yes.
And you know, and if she's strong, if she's healthy, and she is physically fit, she can. She must observe fast.
I see.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us. La ilaha
illallah, Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to Ramadan and fasting, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. And I have Sheikh Javid still in the studio with us. And I'm going to ask you, Sheikh Javid, about a couple of questions just boiling to one. A fasting person, imagine, is unaware of his state of janaba, all right?
Yeah.
So in the afternoon, he notices and performs ghusl by immersion. And does this immersion or ghusl, in fact, invalidate his fast, first of all? And if he realizes what he has done only after performing the ghusl, does he have to perform the qadha of the fast or even there is a kafara included?
Well, this is a question is kind of, you know, difficult. Some of our listeners might not have properly understood the question. I would like to say that, you know, there is a difference of opinion among Shia scholars as to whether immersion underwater, you know, makes the fast void or not. You know, the Shia jurists differ in their opinion about this very issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to Supreme Leader, immersion underwater. Immersion means, okay, you say dive underwater,
yes,
and you are covered by,
yes,
water from head to toe, you know.
Yes.
So this is called immersion. And immersion, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, makes the fast void, makes the fast void.
Mm-hmm.
But on the contrary, Grand Ayatollah Sistani says that immersion does not make the fast void.
So even if the head is under the water.
Yeah, even if the head is underwater. So a person, if willing, can dive underwater, can swim underwater.
Yes.
And he is free, of course, he can do it. And immersion will not affect his fast.
Mm-hmm.
So now, according to Supreme Leader, if a person, you know, if a person performs ghusl by immersion,
yes,
you know, out of forgetfulness, out of the of the fact that he is fasting, you know, he forgets that he's fasting, or unintentionally, then both his fast and ghusl are valid, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, because as long as you are oblivious, or as long as you are forgetful, or you're not doing something unintentionally, your fast is valid, and then your ghusl is also valid. And of course, when the fast is valid and when the ghusl is valid, there is no qadha, and you are not supposed to repeat the fast.
Mm-hmm. I see. And in the case of the janaba, when he understands that he's in the state of janaba, but he hasn't performed the ghusl yet.
Yet.
So he has to go and take a shower instead of immersion, right?
Yes, yes. Ghusl becomes obligatory for prayer, you know, because if you, let's say, for example,
what about the fasting? Is the fasting valid then?
The fasting remains valid, you know.
Yes.
If a person, let's say, enters the state of janaba during the day, like he was sleeping and he,
yes,
had a wet dream.
Yes.
He had a wet dream. So the dream, the ejaculation during the daytime does not make his fast because he did not masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he did not have sexual intercourse, but the ejaculation took place, without him being in control of,
yes,
of it. So his fast is not made void, but he has to, he has to perform ghusl. And it's not necessary to perform ghusl very quickly,
mm-hmm,
you know, immediately after he realizes,
yes,
that he is in the state of janaba. He can perform ghusl anytime soon to perform his prayers. And ghusl becomes obligatory for the prayer, not
mm-hmm.
for the fast.
Fasting.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Sheikh Javed, for your nice contribution to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to the program, especially in this month of mercy, this month of barakah, this month of Ramadan. Keep us in your prayers and du'as. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Malajah ilaha illahum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Sami'un Basir Mm-hmm.